Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Beis, and we are 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis Tanu Rabbanan. So today's daf is going to discuss not so much the halachos of Gid Hanasha, which is the name of the perek and has been the topic du jour for the last several dafin, but rather the halachos of Eiver Menachai. Now, just to follow the paper trail, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amid Beis brought a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim whether or not the Isser Gid Hanasha is noyeg by behemoths that are not kosher, meaning kosher animals. Obviously, there's a halacha that you have to remove the Gid Hanasha. What about a non-kosher animal? The Mishnah said, noyeg b'tahoyra ve'inu noyeg b'tmeya. The sheet of the Tanakam of the Chachamim is that Gid Hanasha is noyeg by a behemoth tahoyra, not by a behemoth tmeya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af b'tmeya. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's true even by a non-kosher animal. Meaning, even though the non-kosher animal is anyways non-kosher, so what's the point in now saying that, oh, by the way, the Gid Hanasha is Aser? There's a special Iser for the Gid Hanasha of the behemoth that is anyways non-kosher. The daf is going to begin now with a braisa, which is going to usher in a rather lengthy discussion as it relates to the Iser of Eiver Menachai. So Eiver Menachai is a lav in the Torah. It's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. But here too, as we'll see, there was a machlokes tanoim, whether the Iser Eiver Menachai was noyach only by kosher animals, or whether it's true by non-kosher animals as well. The Gemara at some point in the Cheshbon is going to shtel tzu Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim of the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Amid Beis regarding Gid Hanasha to this discussion of Eiver Menachai, and it's for that reason we're going to learn what we are about to learn. It says the Gemara, the Isser of Eiver Menachai is noyeg by a behemoth, by a chaya, and even by an oif. It's noyeg whether the animal is not kosher, it's a tameh, or whether the animal is kosher. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Elazar, azoy halt Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. V'chachamim oimrim, and the chachamim say, einoy noyeg ela b'tahoyrim. No. The law of Eiver Menachai is only noyeg by kosher animals. So we have a machlokes tanam whether there's Eiver Menachai by non-kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, the first opinions mentioned in the Braisa, hold Eiver Menachai is noyeg behem chaya ve'oif bein tmeim ubein tahirim. The Chachamim say no, it's only noyeg by tahirim. I'm Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Yechon said shnei mikra echad arshu. These two opinions both came from darshaning the same pasuk. It says in the Torah, rak chazak levilti echol hadam ki hadam. The first half of this pasuk, Rak Chazak, Levilti Achoil Hadam, Ki Adam Hu Hanefesh, is the makar that one is not allowed to eat blood. The second part of the pasuk, V'loisoichal Hanefesh Im Habasar, is the makar to the Isir Eiver Menachai. The Torah juxtaposed in the same pasuk, Aresha in Asefa, not of a brisa, of a pasuk, the Isir Dan and the Isir Eiver Menachai. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Sarvi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, were both of the opinion, Kol Shatimetzuva Al Domoi, Atimetzuva Al Eivara. That from the fact that the Torah put the Isir Dan and the Isir Eiver Menachai together, the Torah is coming to teach me that the Isurim are somewhat similar to each other. Meaning, any behemoth where you're not allowed to eat the dam, from that behemoth you would not be allowed to eat the aver either. If that's the case, v'hani tmeim nami, non-kosher animals, hayo v'atam etzuv al daman, being they not let eat the blood of that animal, atam etzuv al evarim. So too, there's going to be an Isra Eiver Menachai. Rabbanon, Savri the Rabbanon hold, that from the end of the pasuk alone, it says, lo yisoich al hanefesh im habasar. What does it sound like the Torah is saying? The Torah is saying that if you're going to sit down to eat meat, don't eat the nefesh together with the basar. Don't eat Eiver Menachai together with the basar. It sounds like the Torah is saying, eat the meat, but only the meat, not together with the Evarim. Ela basa l'chude, meaning eat the meat by itself. Oh, from there we learn, kol shebasarim mutter, any basa that you can eat, at the mitzvah l'Evarim, there you have the Isra of Eiver Menachai. V'chol shebasarim mutter, but any time, the meat would anyways be aser, because it's not kosher. In that situation, you would not be muzer on Eiver Menachai. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan was mefarish the machloikis we have in this braisa, whether Eiver Menachai is noyik by non-kosher animals, or it's not noyik by non-kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar said it is. It's noyik bein betmeim u bein betahir. Says Rabbi Yochanan, how did he know that? Read the pasuk. V'lo yisoich al hanefesh im habasar. That's the sefer. First state in the reisha, Rak Chazak built the achel adam ki adam hu anefesh. We're makish the reisha to the sefer. The reisha, this adam is true for non-kosher animals. So the sefer, Eiver Menachai, is also going to be true for non-kosher animals. the Chachamim, who are chaylik with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar in this price, they hold Eved Menachai is only noig b'tayin, is because they held Mineu Bey in the Sefer itself. The actual pasuk that mentions Eved Menachai seems to be saying it's only true for kosher animals. Because what did the Torah say? Don't eat the nefesh, don't eat the Eved Menachai im habasa, but eat the basa. Obviously, we're talking about basa that you're allowed to eat. Must be we're dealing with a kosher animal. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was one of the two Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, that said that the Isser Eved Menachai is true even for non-kosher animals. And the way Rabbi Yochanan explained it, it's learned out from a pasuk, from the Hekish between Dam that's mentioned in the Reish of the pasuk, and Eved Menachai, which is mentioned in the Sefer of the pasuk. Frik the Gemara, why would Rabbi Yehuda Lishi Tosai need a pasuk to teach me that there's an Isser Eved Menachai even by a non-kosher animal? Lesi Isser Ever, Lechala Lissatoma. Let the Isser Ever anyways be chal on the Isser Toma, and the Svaru would be Shekein Isurei Noyeg Bivnei Noyach. Because the Isner of Eved Menachai is Noyeg even for a Ben Noyach, as opposed to non-kosher animals. That whole concept is Jewish in nature, right? It's not something that a Ben Noyach is Mozer on. And if that's the case, Vastafich, a Pasuk in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, Tepik Lay, that the Isser of Eved Menachai is more inclusive than is the Isser Toma, because the Isser Toma is only Noyeg Bivnei Noyach, whereas the Isser Eved Menachai, Isser Toma is not Noyeg Ben Noyach, whereas the Isser Eved Menachai is Noyeg Afilu Ben Noyach. What's the Gemara's Kasha? Rabbi Yehuda Lishitas. That's why we started with Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah Daf Kuf Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Isser Gidan Nasha is true even for non-kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda was chaylik. There was a shakta v'tayir between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And what emerged is that Rabbi Yehuda held that even though usually there's a rule that governs Isser being chalal Isser, known as the sugya of Isser chalal Isser, but it makes sense that the Isser of Gidan Nasha should be chal on the Isser Tumah, because the Isser Gidan Asher was Nemel Bnei Noyach. It was told already to the Bnei Yisrael, to the Bnei Yaakov before Matan Torah, as opposed to the Isser Tumah, something that first came later. So I say, Meresh, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is, that even though there's a concept of Ein Issachal listener, but if one Isser is Noyach Bivnei Noyach, and the other is not, the Isser that's Noyach Bivnei Noyach will be Chal on the one that's not Noyach Bivnei Noyach. So if that's the case for the Gemara, why would Rabbi Yehuda need a Makar to tell me that there's an Isser Eved Menachai by non-kosher animals? It should be no different than the Isser Gidan Asher, which you find is Chal by non-kosher animals, and it's not based on any limudim. It's based on the fact because it's something that's Aser Afilu Bivnei Noyach. So if that's the case for Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do I need a Pasik? Typically, it should be no different than Gidan Asher. Now notice, the Gemara's Kasha is only Rabbi Yehuda. There were two Tanoim in this Braisa that said that Eved Menachai is Noyeg B'tmeim U'B'toyim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan was Mefarish, Sai Rabbi Yehuda, Sai Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan's Pirish and Rabbi Elazar we need, because without Rabbi Yochanan's Pirish and Rabbi Elazar, why would Rabbi Elazar hold that there's an Isser Eved Menachai by Behem B'tmeim? We don't have any information about any other Rabbi Elazar that would be pertinent to this sugya right here. Ab in Rabbi Yehuda we do. And Rabbi Yehuda we know he holds that Gidan Asher is chal even by Behemet Meir. If that's the case, Eved Menachai should also be chal by Behemet Meir. And the Gemara's Kash is not why Rabbi Yochanan needed his Pirish. We need it in Rabbi Elazar. To read the Gemara's language, v'Rabbi Yehuda l'amalikra. Why Rabbi Yochanan need to say this in the world of Rabbi Yehuda? L'chayra, in Rabbi Yehuda, you could say more pashat. Rabbi Yehuda holds Isser chalal Isser b'chay gavna, with this second Isser is noyeg afilu b'nei noyach, and the Gemara's teretz is ein hachi na'am. You're 100% right. V'chi Isser akra, the reason Rabbi Yochanan said shneim lomdua mimikra echa, the reason Rabbi Yochanan brought his drasha was a Rabbi Elazar, because it wasn't only Rabbi Yehuda, it was Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. Now, once you have a drasha and Rabbi Elazar, so obviously it works for Rabbi Yehuda as well. Rabbi Yochanan didn't feel the need to get so nitty gritty and make all these cheshbonos. But you're right, if this was only divrei Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yochanan would not have said that Rabbi Yehuda needs a pasuk, because he doesn't need a pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa gidan ashes chalan behemet meya, so to even menachai is chalan behemet meya. The only reason Rabbi Yochanan brought the pasuk is because it was Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, and for Rabbi Elazar, this was something that was very necessary. Says the Gemara, Tanya na mihachi, a braisa that supports what we just said. Which part of what we just said? So we'll see everything that we just said. Eved Menachai noyik b'vehema chayv a'oif bein t'mei bein t'hoiro. So Eved Menachai is noyik by a behema, a chay and a noif. It's also noyik whether the animal is kosher, whether the animal is non-kosher, shenemar, because it says, rak chazak levilti achoil hadon. And we learn from there, kol shatam mitzvah al damoi, anytime there's an isner dam, atam mitzvah al yivar. There's also an isser, Eved Menachai, kol shatam mitzvah al damoi, and if there'd be no isser dam, atam mitzvah al yivar. And being that non-kosher animals, you are mitzvah al damoi, so for that reason, you're mitzvah and Eved Menachai as well, divrei Rabbi Elazar. have to look at this carefully. Rabbi Lazar, notice it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim Oymrim, the Chachamim Snei Einu Noyik Ela B'Tahirim. Then no, the Isra Evi Menachai is only Noyik by Tahirim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Loi Soichal HaNefesh Im HaBasar. Elo basar luchudei. The Torah says, don't eat the evim and achai together with the basar, but do eat the basar. And we learn from there, kol shabsarim muter. Anytime you're allowed to eat the basar, atam tzovah leivarev. That's when you have the issa evim and achai. The kol shneim basarim muter. But if you're not allowed to eat the basar, eat atam tzovah leivarev. You're not allowed to. There is no iser to eat the evim. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, this brisa, and it's only the first part of the brisa, we'll see the hemshich of the brisa in 1 second, is a tanya nami hachi. And what do you see in this brisa that supports what we just said? So you see two things. Number one, the original brisa just brought a machlokes tanam, whether evim and achai is noyik by 9 kosher animals. This second brisa gives the tam as well. We know why evim and achai would be noyik by behemet meya, because we're makish it to dam, and we know why it would not be noyik by behemet meya, because the pasuk says lo yisoichal hanefesh im habasar ela basar l'chude. So the tam of Rabbi Yochanan is mefurish in this brisa. So this is a tanya nami hachi to Rabbi Yochanan said. But you see even more than that, Zok Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of the Gemara. You see a tanya nami hachi to the Gemara's explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Because the Gemara had a kash on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, why do you need this time of the Kara? The Rabbi Yehuda, say it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa. Gid anoshes chal on a behemet meya. Eva menachai should also be chal on a behemet meya. What was the Gemara's teretz? And a chinami. It's Tirich Kral the Rabbi Lazar. You only need the Pasuk for Rabbi Lazar. In this Braisa that brings the Pasuk, we don't mention Rabbi Yehuda. It says Divrei Rabbi Lazar. This is also a Tanya Nami Hachi to what the Gemara said, because Alibi the Rabbi Yehuda, Yutaka don't have to come onto the Pasuk. Coin to Rabbi Yehuda, it's more Pasha that this would be the Halacha based on the fact that it's Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa. It says a Tanya Nami Hachi that the Kar to the two shittas, whether Evim Menachai is Chal by Behemet Meya is totally in how you darsh in this pasuk. It's also Tanya Nami Yochi that's only true in Rabbi Lozer versus the Chachamim. Ob in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim say Mer Pashat. Because Rabbi Yehuda, as it relates to Evim Menachai on Behemet Meya, is Lashitasai to as it relates to Gidan Nosham on the Behemet Meya. Either way, the Braisa continued. And the Braisa, the second Braisa, this Tanya Nami Yochi, throws in one more shita. Rameir says, Einoi Noyeg Ela Behema Tahiru Bovat. Rameir holds, like the Chachamim, that Evim Menachai is only noyig on a Tahir and not on a Tmeir. Rameir is even more exclusive in terms of when we apply the Issa Evim Menachai. Einu noyig ela bebehem, as opposed to Chayis and Oifis. So in the first Braisa, and in the beginning of this second Braisa, everybody agrees that Evim Menachai is noyig bebehema, bechaya, uba'oif. The shaila is it true only for kosher animals or even for non-kosher animals? Rameir is a new shita. Rameir says that Eva Menachai is only noyeg by behemoth. Oh, by the way, only by kosher behemoth, says the Gemara. Simin, Shmuel, Shila, and Simi. Amarab Rabba bar Shmuel, Amarab Chizda, v'itayim Rav Yosef. So Rabba, the son of Shmuel, said in the name of Rav Chizda, some say it wasn't Rabba, the son of Shmuel, in the name of Rav Chizda, but some say it was just Rav Yosef. Amri lo, some say, Omer Rabba bar Shelo, Omer Rav Chizda, v'itayim Rav Yosef. Some would say it was Rabba bar Shelo in the name of Rav Chizda, or maybe just Rav Yosef. But Amri lo, and even others said that it was Rabba bar Simi, Omer, or some say Shimi, Rabba bar Simi, Omer Rav Chizda, that it was Rabba, the son of Simi, said in the name of Rav Chizda, v'itayim, or maybe it was just Rav Yosef. So what's the simen, right? This is Gishmak. The simen is Shmuel Shila Simi, what Shmuel Shila Simi? Because it's Rabba bar Shmuel, Am Rav Chizda v'Tamei Rav Yosef, or it's Rabba bar Shila, Am Rav Chizda v'Tamei Rav Yosef, or it's Rabba bar Simi, Am Rav Chizda v'Tamei Rav Yosef. So the simen is to remember: is it Rabba bar Shmuel, Rabba bar Shila, or Rabba bar Simi? So regardless, it's not Shmuel Shila or Simi that's saying this halacha. It's Rabba, the son of either Shmuel Shila or Simi, who said in the name of Rav Chizda, or it could be, this is all one big mistake, it's just another halacha for Rabbi Yosef. But the bottom line is, what did they say? My time with the Rameir, they came to me with Farish Rameir. Rameir who holds, Ne'evim Menachai is only noig, but behemoth's not noig, but chayv oif at all. On Makra, you learned it from the following pasuk. It says, V'zavachta mipkarcha umitzoincha. And then two psukim later, it says, V'loy soichal ha-nefesh imadda. And it's from the juxtaposition of v'zavachtam ibkorchum yitzoyinchu, which means behema, to the iser of Eva Menachai, the Ramea learned his shrita, and that is that the only time Eva Menachai is noyig is dafka by behemoth. And by the way, as it relates to the big machloikis, tmeim, tahirin, Rabbi Rabbalaz on the one hand, the Chum on the other hand, he holds it's only noyig by tahirin. Rav Gidl Amar Rav. Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav. Machloikis be Yisrael. This machloikis, whether Eva Menachai is noyig by non-kosher animals or not, that's only true a yid. So a yid who eats Eva Menachai is over loisase. So there you have this big tumult. Avil b'ben noyach. But as it relates to a ben noyach, who we know also is not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. It's one of the seven mitzvahs from the noyach. Everybody holds that a ben noyach is muzer on Eva Menachai, tzai tmeim and tzai tohim. What would be the svara? So the svara is pasha. Because what's the reason that there's a man da'amah, the shita sachachamim, that Eva Menachai is only noyach by Tahirim, and it's not noyik by Tmeim. It's based on the fact that it says, V'loy soichal ha-nefesh ima basar, eat the basar by itself. Oh, you can't eat basar. So that's non-kosher. So if you can't eat basar, that's non-kosher. Bal karchach, this Eva Menachai can't be referring to a non-kosher animal. But a benayach could eat basar that's non-kosher. He's not muzer by the laws of kashrus. So if that's the case, the loy soichal ha-nefesh ima basar is true equally for basar Tahar and Basar Tameh as it relates to a Benayach, and it's for that reason said Rav Gidl in the name of Rav that this whole Machloikis Tanam that we have is only Negeya or Yisrael and his Isra of Eva Menachai. But what is Negeya Benayach and his Isra of Eva Menachai? There's no nafkamina between Tmeim and Tahirim, and the reason is based on what the Drosha that the Chachamim based their opinion on, that Eva Menachai is only noyik b'toyim, it's not noyik b'tmeim. Says the Gemara, Tanya na mihochi abraiso. Eva Menachai ben noyach muzer olav al hatmeim kitehoyrim v'yisrael enoy muzer elal al hatahoyrim bilvan. What do you see from this price? No? What you see from this price is that the tan of the price is of the opinion of the Chachamim, not Rabbi the Rabbi Lasser. He holds Eva Menachai is only noyik b'toyim, it's not noyik b'tmeim. Stating that ben noyach muzer on Eva Menachai, Sayan Tmeim and Sayan Torim. So we're going Aliba de Chachamim, who hold that Eva Menachai is only noyig by Torim, yet, as it relates to a Ben Noyach, you see clearly it's true even for Tmeim. That was Rav's Chiddush. Rav said the whole Machlekes was be Yisrael, Avu be Ben Noyach, Divri Akom, Muzer al Atmeim, Ketahoyrim, it's a Mefurish of Braisa. Says the Gemara, stating that there were two versions how to read this Braisa. Ikeda Amri, there were those that learned the Braisa, and the Girsa was Tahoyra. What does that mean? The Yisrael in a Muzer Ella al Tahira Bilvad. What does that mean, Tahira? It's a singular Lashon. It's a Lashon Yachid. Why would it say Lashon Yachid Rameir? Oh, it's probably Geshitas Rameir, who holds that Eva Menachai is only Noig Behema, and it's for that reason we're mentioning the Lashon Yachid Behema Lechud as opposed to Chayvoy. Igud Amri, some had the Gersa Tahirin, and if that's the case, since for Rabbanon, it's going according to the Rabbanon, that hold that Eva Menachai is Noig Sai by Behema, Sai Bechaya, and Sai Be'oif. So, but Derech Agav, is this Tanya Nami Hochi going Beshitas Rameir, or is it going Beshitas Achachomim? Apparently, there were two versions, two Gersois. Tunus Chayis over here in the Braisa, Tahira would imply only Behem and Achayev Oif. Tahira would apply Behem Achayev Oif. Amr Rav Shizbi, said, Afana Nami Tanina. I think I have a raya from a Mishnah. Mishnah in Mesechtes Tahiris, Perik Aleph Mishnah Gimel. And again, a raya to what Rav said, and that is that this whole machlik is Tanon regarding Evim and Achayev by non kosher animals, that's only true as it relates to a Yid that eats Evim and Achayev. But Vos Nagev, Ben Noyach that eats Evim and Achayev, Lekuli Yalmuts, Poshet, that it makes no difference if the animal is kosher or if the animal is non-kosher. Again, it was Rav's Chiddush. We had a Tanya Nami Hochi to support Rav. Rav Shizbi said, I think I could even one-up you. I don't think it's only a Braisa that supports Rav. I think it's even Meduyuk that way in a Mishnah. Now, the background to this Mishnah is discussing the laws of an Oif Tameh, the Nevela of an oif tamei. So we're dealing with the nevela of a non-kosher oif. Says the Mishnah, if somebody would go and he would eva menachai from this oif tamei, he would not get malchus. And Pashup Shad is, why wouldn't he get malchus if he ate eva menachai? Because it's a non-kosher bird. And being that it's mayim, there's no eva menachai if it's non-kosher. Additionally, it says the Mishnah, you should know, if you go ahead and you shech this non-kosher oif, the shechita is not going to be metaret. Now, the ratio is very important because, as we just saw, the topic of Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Amir Aleph, the entire Amir, Mamish Mitchilo Vatzoyf, is this Shiloh, whether Eva Menachai is noyig by non-kosher animals or not noyig by non-kosher animals. So the Mishnah is telling me a very important halacha, achra, in this big Shiloh. Ochal Eva Menachai Mimena, Enoy Soifig Arba. But the second part of the Mishnah is Enoy Oimer Elo Darsheni. Ein Shchitasim et Harasa. There would have been a Havamina that, you know, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher birds. But if you shecht it, I mean, obviously you always have to shecht a knife, and you're not allowed to eat non-kosher. So what's even the Havamina? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, B'mai, Eleim B'Yisrael. And this is all Rav Shizvi talking. If the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah, is talking about a yid. Pshita dein shchitasa mitarasa. Obviously, the shchita can be mitarit. The shchita can never be mitarit. El olav ibnei noyach. It must be. We're talking about not a Yisrael, but rather, we're talking about a ben noyach. What does it mean we're talking about a ben noyach? So we know ben noyach is allowed to eat non-kosher birds. A ben noyach is also not allowed to eat even menachah. We also know from holding already 100 blood into Mesachta Schulin that there's an afkamina in terms of the definition, be'etzem, of Eva Menachai, as it relates to Yisrael, versus as it relates to a Benayah. As it relates to Yisrael, all you have to do is shecht it. If you shecht an animal, and the animal's still alive, it's mefarcheses, or the ben pekua, perik behema, makasha fame, then the halachas would be mutter, because if you did a shechita, you did a shechita. As it relates to a Benayah, really it's talian, whether is it alive or not alive, because a Benayah doesn't have shechita. And being that a Benayah doesn't have shechita, really the shechita should be neither here nor there. Stating that, the Gemara said earlier in the Masechta, mi'ikamidi, you can't have a situation where right now I would have a piece of meat that would be considered mutter la'achila for Yisrael, but would be considered also la'achila for Ben Noach. And it's for that reason, just like shchita is metaher for Yisrael, in a situation where it's bechefta being metaher for the Yisrael, we assume that it's going to be metaher for the goy as well. In other words, this second part of the Mishnah, of the ain't shchita mitarasa, must be talking about as it relates to a ben noyach. There is a musig of the shechita being metar for a ben noyach, and that must be the context of where this halacha was being said. Because again, it can't be negeya the Yisrael, because of course shechita can't be metar. Elamayitz negeya the ben noyach. Why does the ben noyach need shechita? He needs the shechita so that it shouldn't be eva menachai. So again, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a yid? It's pashat that shechita is not metar. El olav. Must be, we're talking about a ben noyach. And what we're saying is that ain't shchitasa mitarasa, that if you did a maisa shchita, but it's still alive, the halacha is, it's going to be aser ba'achila. Why will it be aser ba'achila? Because of eva menachah. What's the kasha? The kasha is, if the animal is a non-kosher animal, so then what's the Isra Eva Menachai anyways? Michlal de Osir. So you see from here, it must be that Eva Menachai by a behemoth tmei is also a benoyach, and if that's the case, even though it's not mamish a mefurish a mishnah, but it's kemat a mefurish a mishnah. The ain't shchita mitarasa by the oif tamei l'chayr is a raya that there is an Isra Eva Menachai when it comes to a benoyach. So again, the ratio of the mishnah said, ochal Eva Menachai mimeno, that's talking about a yid. And by the way, how do you know for sure that part of the Mishnah is talking about a yid? Because there's no malchus by a guy. By a guy, azaras and zui misasan. So either he's chayv miso or he's chayv nothing. So obviously we're talking about a yid. The second part of the Mishnah, vein shchita mitarasa, is obviously talking about a guy. Because it doesn't make any sense if it's talking about a yid. From the fact that there's a discussion of ein shchita mitarasa, must be there's an isra eva menachai when it comes to an oif tamei. So you see mefurish that the Tana of the Mishnah holds that there's an isra eva menachai as it relates to an oif tamei. But you need one more step. From the fact that the ratio of the Mishnah says ochal eva menachai mimena in yisayfig arbaam, so you see from it that there is no isra eva menachai by a Yisrael when it comes to a non-kosher animal. That means the Tana of the Shita holds that there's, of the Mishnah holds, there's no isra eva menachai when it comes to Yisrael by an oif tamei, but there is an isra eva menachai when it comes to a ben noyach by an oif tamei. How does that make any sense? The teretz is Amrav Gigal Amarav Machlokes Yisrael Abba ben noyach Divrei Hakol Muzer Al Atmeim Kitahirin. We had a Tanya Nami Hachi from a Mefurish Abraiso and Amrav Shizbi Mamish Kishmak Afanan Nami Tonino. Because this Mishnah is in one breath saying that there is no isra eva menachai when it comes to a Yisrael by non-kosher birds, but there is an Isra Eva Menachai when it comes to a Ben Noyach by non-kosher birds. Look at the Gemara, Ramani Bar Patish, Rami Reisha Sefer. Ramani Bar Patish, as an aside, he sat down and he learned this Mishnah also. Ochel Eva Menachai Mimeno, Enu Sefer Garba. He was mamish bothered. He said, I have a stir over here between the Reisha and the Sefer. What's the stir? Because the Reisha of the Mishnah seems to say that There's no Eiver Menachai when it comes to non-kosher animals. The Sefer of the Mishnah seems to say that there is Eiver Menachai when it comes to non-kosher animals. Right? On the one hand, Achal Eiver Menachai Mimena Enoi Sefer Garba. But then again, Vein Shchita Mitarasa. In Shchita Mitarasa, you're left with what? You're left with an Isra Eiver Menachai. So if you're left with an Isra Eiver Menachai, so is there Eiver Menachai or is there not Eiver Menachai? Umeshani, and he answered, Reish of Yisrael, the Sefer Benayach. The Reish was talking about Yisrael, the Sefer was talking about a Benayach. As it relates to Yisrael, Enoi Sefer Garba, the Stakin always Sefer Menachai. As it relates to a Benayach, over there would be an Isra Eiver Menachai. Omer Rav, Eiver Menachai, the only time a person is over the Eiver Menachai is if he eats a kezayis. But if he eats pachas mikezayis, then already he's not going to be over. Now, what would have been the havamina that you should be over even if you eat pachas mikezayis? It's because maybe every Eiver is a barrier. And if it's a barrier, you know, if somebody eats a barrier, it's a davar chashev, yechayv, even a pachas mikezayis, so kedai techamina, Eiver Menachai is a barrier, kamash malon, that Rav holds Eiver Menachai only chayiv if you eat a kezayis. My time, and what's his makar? Because achiluk sivavei. When the Torah says yinaladi Eiver Menachai, it says v'loy soichal hanefesh im abasar. It says v'loy soichal. That's an achilo. Achilo always means a kezayis. So if somebody would eat Eiver Menachai pachas mikezayis, he wouldn't be chayiv. Also, Rav Amram. Rav Amram asked on this. Ochal Eiver mimeno. And this is from the Mishnah that we just mentioned a minute ago, that if somebody would eat Eiver Menachai, so the halacha is, from an oif tameh, you wouldn't get malchus. Not just that, the shchita wouldn't be matar. Now, what's the kasha? Kshmak a kasha. If you're going to tell me that the only time a person's over the Issa Eiver Menachai is if he eats a kezayis, then how could the Mishnah say that if somebody ate Eiver Menachai mimena in a soifik as arbon, tepekle the kachal kezayis? Tepekle, he ate a kezayis, and if he ate a kezayis, he should get malchus for eating an oif tameh. In other words, Pashi, you read the Mishnah, Ochal Eiver Menachai, Einoi Soifik Es Arbam, it means for the Isra Eiver Menachai. But really, Einoi Soifik Es Arbam sounds like, you know, you're Malkus, you can go home. We're not going to beat you up today. You're going to be fine. I'm afraid the Gemara, I'm worried the Gekasha. Every time a person eats the Eiver Menachai of an Oif Tameh, forget about this Eiver Menachai. Let's say there is no Isra Eiver Menachai. Typically, you ate non-kosher Oif. Now, Bishleim, if you're going to tell me that the Isra Eiver Menachai, you're over even if you eat Pachas Mikazayas. So I'll tell you, Hachem Mayaskin, we ate Pachas Mikazayas. You're not going to get Malkus for Eiver Menachai because it's an Oif Tameh. You're not going to get Malkus for eating a Kazayas of non-kosher meat because you didn't eat a Kazayas of non-kosher meat. But if you're going to tell me the only time you ever over the Issa Eiver Menachai is if you eat a kezayis, so you obviously ate a kezayis. Because if you didn't eat a kezayis, why are we having this conversation? So moot point. Anyone's not getting malchus. If you ate a kezayis, then you should get malchus, not for eating a kezayis of Eiver Menachai, but for eating a kezayis of Oif Tameh. Typically, the kochel kezayis. And for the Gemara, kida Amar Rav Nachman. We're going to stelsu something Rav Nachman is going to say on Amid Beis to answer this question. What's Rav Nachman going to say on Amid Beis to answer a different question? But we're starting to get through here. What's Rav Nachman going to say? B'mashu baser gidim v'atzamas. He's going to make an akimta in something that it was talking about, where the person ate a little bit of baser, but there was a lot of gidim v'atzamas. As it relates to the Isra Eiver Menachai, gidim and atzamas are mitzaref to the share. As it relates to eating non-kosher meat, gidim and atzamas are not mitzaref to the share. The point is, hachanami, so too. This Mishnah is talking about b'mashu baser. We ate a little bit of baser, but he also ate gidim v'atzamas. But he ate gidim v'atzamas that went ahead and was mashlim the little bit of baser that he ate. If there was an Issa Eiver Menachai by an oif tameh, he'd get malchus. I, Rav, said you have to eat a kezayis. You ate a kezayis. Eat a kezayis, have baser gidim v'atzamas. I, if you ate a kezayis, you should get malchus because you ate oif tameh. You didn't eat a kezayis of baser oif tameh. You ate a little bit of basar and a lot of bit of gidim v'atzamas that ended up being mashlim the shir. The point is, enechinami, you ate vas heista kezayis klapi Eiver Menachai, or but dosa nishkan kezayis klapi the isa oif tameh. How's that possible? Either it's a kezayis or it's not a kezayis. Oh, it's kedam Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman already said this chiddush that when it comes to Eiver Menachai, the gidim v'atzamas are mitzdarev. But when it comes to isser of eating non-kosher meat, there the gidim v'atzamas are not mitzdarev. Says the Gemara Toshma. Another kasha on what Rav said. Again, what did Rav say? Eiver Menachai, tzorich kezayis. My taima achilok sivavei. This kasha is not from a Mishnah, but it's from something Rav himself said. Oh, my Rav. Rav said, ochal tzipa tohoiro b'chayeo. Somebody eats a live, kosher bird. So someone ate a tzipa tohoiro b'chayeo, while it was alive. So the halacha is, b'kol shuhu, in the event that he eats even a kol shuhu, it could be a tiny little bit, the halacha is at that point, he's going to be Chayiv Malkus. What's he Chayiv Malkus for? They ate a live bird. He ate Eved Menachai. Bimisasa, this is nuanced. Let's say the bird is not alive anymore because that is. Then you have to eat a kazayas. Because once it's dead, it's not Eved Menachai. If it's not Eved Menachai, the only thing you can be over for is for eating nevela. Right, this was a kosher tzipar. Nevela requires a kazayas. As you result, you'd have to eat a kazayas. Tmeya, let's say the bird was not kosher. So the first part of Rav's memory is talking about where it is kosher. Let's say it's not kosher. Beim dechayel. Beim bemisasa. Then, regardless of whether it's alive or whether it's dead, bechol shud halacha is that you're going to be chayav for a kol shu. If it's alive, you'll be chayav for a kol shu, it sounds like, because he's of the opinion, maybe, that Eved Menachai is true even by Tmeyim. Or, now, if it's dead, you'll be chayav for a kol shu. What's pshat then? Then it's for sure not Eved Menachai. So why are you going to be chayav for a kol shu? So Rashi says, it's because a non-kosher bird is considered a beria. And if you eat a beria, so then the halach is, you're chayav even if you eat pachas mikazayis. By the way, just to speak this out, if beim bimisasa, b'chol shu is because it's a beria, so then you don't have to say that b'chayeha, the reason you're chayav b'chol shu is because you hold that Eved Menachai is true, even b'tmeya. Could be there is no Eved Menachai b'tmeya, but the mice is non-kosher, and it's the same barrier if it's alive, and as a result, you'll be chayav b'kol shu. But here's the bottom line. Rav Shita is, if somebody eats a live tzipar, that's kosher. Daloch is yichayev if you eat a kol shu. If it's dead, you have to eat a kazayas. If it's live, yichayev for a kol shu. Why? Because it's Eved Menachai. Eved Menachai, it sounds like daloch is b'kol shu. If it's dead, it's not Eved Menachai anymore. What is it? It's nevela. Nevela has to be a kazayas. If it's a non-kosher animal, bein b'chayev, bein b'misasa, you'd be chayev b'kol shu. The reason is because of barrier. By the way, Rashi asks the obvious kasha, why is it that a tzipar that's non-kosher is considered a barrier? So yichayev b'kol shu, bein b'chayev, bein b'misasa. But when it comes to a kosher tzipar, we don't view it as a barrier, and it's for that reason, b'misasa, you would have to eat a kazayas. It's Rashi's kasha, ayin shom. But the bottom line is, what's our kasha? What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is you have a steer in Rav. Rav said, Eved Menachai tzorich kazayas, my time machi luksivabe. Rav said, ochal tzipar tahira b'chayah b'kosho. That looks b'chayah b'kosho. Why? Obviously because it's Eved Menachai. So does Eved Menachai require kazayas? Does Eved Menachai not require kazayas? Zok de Gemara, hachinami, here too, we're going to shtotzu Rav Nachman. B'mashnu basar, gidim atzomis. It's talking about where the kosho was a kosho of basar. But enachinami, there was gidim atzomis that went ahead and was mashlum nashir. When Rav says he needed kazayas, mitzarech he holds you need a kazayas, but mitzad sheni, like Rav Nachman was mefarish, it doesn't have to be a kazayas a basar. It could be a kazayas betziruf the basar the gidim and atzomis, and that's pshat in this other member of Rav. Says the Gemara, Toshma, another kasha on Rav's halacha. Again, Rav's halacha that the only time a person's life is Eved Menachai is if he eats a kazayas, and this is from a Tosefta in Masechta Zavodazara. Not al tzipar she'im by kazayas. If somebody took a kosher tzipar that did not have a kazayas for ochloi and he ate it, Rebbe poiter. Rebbe says you're poiter from malchus. The Rabbi Lozab Rab Shimon Mechayev. And Rabbi Lozab Rab Shimon says, you're going to be Chayev. Now we're going to see momentarily that the Yisoid of this Machloikis is not the Ein Bei Kazayas. The Yisoid of this Machloikis is, Rebbe has a Shita. The only time you over Eved Menachai, this is very counterintuitive, is if you eat an Aver from a live animal. But if you eat the whole live animal, that's not Eved Menachai. You're not allowed to eat the Nefesh Im HaBosar. But if you eat the ganze Geschäft in one shot, that already not. So not al tzipar she'im by kazayas, the entire tzipar that was aimed by kazayas, it's like in Rav's case, it was a kolshu, the ochlein, you ate it in one swoop, according to Rebbe, you're going to be potter, because there's no Eved Menachai on a Baal Chai Sholem. Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon, Mechayev, you're going to be chayev. Amr Loz, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon turned to Rebbe, he said, Kal v'chaymer, al Eved Mimeno Chayev, al Kula like Kolshkin, sounds like the most obvious Kal v'chaymer of all time. But if you chayev for an Eved, how could it be not chayev if you eat the entire tzipar? Either way, the braisa continues. And says Chonka, let's say the person went ahead and he choked the tzipar, killed it, and then he ate it. Divri Akobi Kazayas, everyone holds that you're going to have to eat a Kazayas, because once you kill the tzipar, now it's a nevela. Again, it's a kosher tzipar. So now it's a regular nevela. Nevela, it's poshnet. You have to eat a Kazayas. That's the Gemara. Adkan lepligi. Ela de marasav b'chayel levar meimedes. Umarasav b'chayel lav levar meimedes. So you have over here Machlokes Rebbe, Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Shimon. If somebody eats a full tzipar that's pachas mikazayas, whether you're going to be chayev or not going to be chayev. Now, what is the Machlokes? The Machlokes is whether or not you're chayev for eating a tzipar sholem, or you're only chayev for eating an eved. Now, the Gemara gives gives us a little bit of a beer in that. What would be the explanation? So the Gemara says, the machlokes is whether we say behema le'ivar me'medes or lav le'ivar me'medes. As if to say everybody's maskin that the is eivim menachai is to eat an eivim menachai. But if you eat the full chai, pe'etzim you shouldn't be chai. Nor vos. Being that a full behema is le'ivar me'medes, at some point, right, you're going to shecht it and put it on the grill, you're going to end up chopping it up. It's going to be le'ivar me'medes. See, even while it's shalim, we look at it already as being an eivar. So Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon holds that behema b'chayel le'ivar me'medes, and being that it's le'ivar me'medes, so therefore we treat it like eivar menachai. Whereas Rebbe holds it's lav le'ivar me'medes. Good, that's the machlokes. Oh, but the kuli almamiyah le'ivar me'medes. But everybody clearly holds you don't need a kazayas. Why? Because if you're going to tell me the only time you're eivar menachai is what? If you eat a kazayas, here the whole tzipor is pachas mikazayas. So even if the tzipor is le'ivar me'medes, so each eivar is going to for sure be pachas mikazayas. The whole sum total of the tzipor is pachas mikazayas. So obviously each eivar is pachas from there. And the only reason you're chayif eating the ganze tzipor is because it's made up of all these little levar. If you're telling me that you can't be over this even if you pachas megazayis, so this whole conversation should be dead on arrival. Yet you see very much the Tanam discussed this. Zok the Gemara, it's a kushya atzuma on Rav. Who gives the teretz here? I'm Rav Nachman, right? So this is classic Sigla Nashas. We waited to bring Rav Nachman till the end, and we've been talking about Rav Nachman now for the last 5 minutes. We stole to Rav Nachman twice, and now we bring the Ikra. This is not kid to Amr Rav Nachman. This is Amr Rav Nachman. Amr Rav Nachman, b'mashu basnar gidem v'atzamoyis. It's talking about where Enochinami, the tzipar, was pachas mekazayis, but it was just the buster of the tzipar was pachas mekazayis. But if you take the buster of the tzipar and you combine it together with the gidin and you combine it together with that atzamas, then already you had a proper kazayis. And it's for that reason, if somebody would eat it, technically he would be chayiv, because as it relates to Eivim and Achai, as much as Rav holds that you have to have a kazayis, but at the same time he holds that the gidin v'atzamas are going to be mitzdarif. But the Gemara says, I don't understand this. Is this even possible? Is the mitzias possible? Umiya kamidi. Is there such a thing that you have an animal, an oif, right, it's a tzipar, the bekulei less b'kazayis basar? You ate the entire oif, you don't have a kazayis basar, yet ubechad ever, but in any individual ever you're going to have, b'mashu basar gidev atzamas, you're going to end up having a kazayis if you mitzdarif the little bit of basar gidev atzamas. Again, we're saying that the person went ahead, he ate the entire tzipar. The entire tzipar is pachas mikazayis. Rav Nachman made a kimta means it's less than a kazayis of basar. Stating that, if you eat it, you're going to be chayef. Why? You're going to be chayef because of the pachas mikazayis of basar and the gidon atzamas that are mashlim. But really, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that the reason you're chayef when you eat the full tzipar is because the tzipar is le'evar me'medes, and we assume that each eivor that you ate from it is already an eivor, and if you ate an eivor, minachai, the halacha is you're going to be chayef. Which would then necessitate that each eivor should be made up of enough basar gidim atzamas that betzirif you would end up with a kazayis. So you would have to have a metzias then that the entire oif doesn't have a kazayis or basar, because that the Braisa said mefurish is the case. Yet each eivor, if you take the little tiny bit of basar that it has, it's got to be very little basar, because the whole tzipar doesn't even have a kazayis of basar. So the little bit of basar that it does have, and you combine it together with the gidin atzamas, you end up with kazayis. Is it such a metzias? I'm Rav Shrav, and Shrav said, yeah, 100%. The kolnisa, and there's a bird called the kolnisa, which is clearly, almost 100% muscle, right? It's almost 100% gidin v'atzamas, very little body fat, and that's where you have such a mitzias. But the Gemara says, you can't tell me it's talking about a kol nisa. You know why? Because aim a sefer, take a look at the sefer, chunk of achlot, in the event that the person went and he choked this animal, then he ate it. I mean, he made it in a veil, and then he ate it. Did we have a kol b'kazayis? Everyone holds it can be a kazayis. Now, the kol nisa oif tamehu. This kol nisa that has very little body fat, we know is a non-kosher bird. The amar Rav, and Rav said on the top of the omit, tamehu, that when it comes to a non-kosher bird, bein b'chayeh, bein b'nisas b'mashu. It's considered a barrier. Right, we didn't speak out the Rashi that says why the non-kosher bird is the barrier, but the kosher one is not the barrier. But the mitzvah says that the non-kosher bird is a barrier, and if it's a barrier, you wouldn't have to eat a kazayis. So vos nokte tosefta. Why did the Braisa say that chonkova achlo divrei akol b'kazayis? If we're talking about the kol nisa, because that's the only bird we know that stems with the metzias of Rav Nachman, that the entire bird has less than a kazayis of basa, but each aver would have a kazayis of basa. Well, then you wouldn't have to eat a kazayis when you're chonko. The only time you need a kezayis is if it's a kosher, because then you're being over the isin avela. Isin avela requires a kezayis. But if we're dealing with the kolnisa, it's non-kosher. If it's not kosher, it shouldn't require a kezayis. A mashu should be enough. Tamara says, Ella, obvious answer, kein kolnisa. We don't mean literally the kolnisa. We mean a kosher version of the kolnisa. So if there's a kosher version of the kolnisa that's made up of, you know, a very disproportionate amount of gidim v'aksamis relative to the basar, that would be where this halacha would be. No, okay, it says the Gemara, Omar Rava, one postscript to today's daf. If you're going to tell me that Savar Rebbe, the Rebbe is of the opinion that Machsheves Oichlin Shema Achila, that a Machsheves Oichlin is considered an Achila. So again, what does Rebbe hold? Rebbe holds that if somebody would eat a full live kosher tzipar, She'em by Kezayas, Potter, you're going to be Potter. And the reason is because we said Rebbe holds behema bechayeha lav le'evarim oimedes. So I don't view it as an ever. I view it as a complete tzipa. You're not chay for eating a complete tzipa. If Rebbe would hold that behema bechayeha le'evarim oimedes, well, that's the sheet of Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon, the way the Gemara explained it, then he would hold, you would be chayiv, because that I would view this live tzipar as if it's already a varim, and it's for that reason you would be chayiv. So says Rav, if you're going to tell me that Rebbe holds, machsheves oichlin shma achil, meaning, a person can have a machshava regarding an oichel, to prepare it a certain way, and if he does that, it's called an achila, and it impacts the halachic status of that oichel. Well, if that's the case, what would be, according to Rebbe, where this person had this live tzipar, and he was chishev la'ochle ever ever. He had a mind to chop it up to have arm to eat it. Then va'ochle kula, he ate it without chopping it. Chayef, he would be chayef. Because as much as Rebbe holds that behemah b'chayeh lav le'evarim oimedes, but if he was chishev, he had a mind specifically to do that, so now, oh, you had a machshav, so then you're going to be chayef. But it's only true if Rebbe holds machsheves oichlin shma achila. If you don't hold machsheves oichlin shma achila, so you could have machshavas v'nayim pizmargin. Your machshav is neither here nor there. Either way, that's what Rava said. Rava said that if Rebbe holds machshav is oichlin shma achila, so even though Rebbe holds that behemah b'chayeha lav le'evarim oimedes, but if you had a machshav to eat it le'evarim, you're going to be chayev. Amalei Abayis, Abayis told Rava, mi can't be. Dilu ochel le'achel le'im mechayev, v'ochel le'hai mechayev. What would come out according to Rava? It'd come out according to Rava that if somebody eats a live tzipa right now, pachas mikazayis, are you chayev or you not chayev? Well, it depends. If you had a machshava to eat a le'evarim, you'll be chayef. If you didn't, won't be chayef. So if Reuven, let's say, would have a machshava to eat a le'evarim, and Shimon would not have a machshava. So if Reuven takes a bite out of it, he's chayef. If Shimon takes a bite out of it, he's not chayef. Is there such a metzias told Abaya to Rava that I have one piece of meat over here that for Reuven it's not kosher, and for Shimon it's kosher? I never heard such a thing. It can't be. Either it's universally kosher or not kosher. There's no such mitzias. Amalei. So Rava told Abaya, yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, I hear Abaya, this doesn't sit well with you. But to me, it sits perfectly fine. Zelefi machshavta. Zelefi machshavta. You had a machshava one way. So, Levarim, I see it. You didn't have it. So, not that way. Amar Rava. Rava doubled down. Rava continues. In Tim Tzolim, a sovereign was Reb Shimon. Machshavis oichlin shma achila. What would be the other way around? Again, what was Reb Shimon old? He's Rebbe's bar plukta in that price. He holds that if somebody eats a full tzipar, that lach is yis chayv. Why is it chayv? It's not an aver. It's because he holds that behema b'chayeh le'evar me'medes. Said Rava, if Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon also holds machshev es oichlin shma achila and chishev la oichla, and he had in mind to eat it mesa, not evarim, va'achlo chaya, and then he ended up eating it alive, potter, the halach is he's going to be potter. Because again, in as much as Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon sheet is behema b'chayeh le'evar me'medes, but if you would have a machshev fakert, you could be oichlin. It's the same exact Rava. Rava snedded it first in Rebbe, and then he snedded it in and Rav Lozer Rav Shimon. What did Abaya tell Rava when he said in Rebbe, I disagree? What's Abaya going to tell Rava when he says Rav Lozer Rav Shimon? Abaya l'shitasa, I disagree. I'm like, Abaya. So Abaya said, Omiya kamidi, isn't there such a mitzias? Dilu ochale acha mechayev, ochale hai potter. In this case, the other guy that's going to eat it is going to be chayev, because stam behemah b'chayel le'evarim emetis. You pumped, had in mind not to eat a le'evarim, so you're going to be potter. Amalei, so Rava told him, why not? Zelefi machshavtoi, v'zelefi machshavtoi, each person is going to be chayev or potter based on his machshava, and we will stop here and exhale. So as it relates to Raid, so we're moving along in the sugyas of Perikid Hanosha that deal with the laws of Taruvos. And I think it's kedai to revisit something that we spoke about 7.5 years ago. And that is the history of the kashrus of Coca-Cola. And just as a little bit of an introduction, this is an inyan that I had the privilege to go through with Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld Shlita many, many years ago. And we've said this in the past, but today it's popular to write and talk about Jewish American history. Befrat, this year, 250 years. Rabbi Bienenfeld's been on this for decades, and he is without question one of the pioneers in terms of uncovering some of the forgotten American Geonim from yesteryear. And I think he deserves a lot of the credit for this riboy of what's been going on over this last little period. But either way, this raid bite has Rabbi Bienenfeld's footprints all over it. And on that note, just a little bit of a fascinating piece of Jewish American halachic history. There was an advertisement that appeared in the Hadoar Hebrew Weekly in New York in April of 1931. It was written in Yiddish, Lushan Kodesh. V'samachta b'chagecha, it says. Echol kol suda is ha-pesach b'simcha, u'shesei b'chol suda v'suda Coca-Cola. It's v'samachta b'chagecha, it's a time to be festive, and you can eat every single suda b'simcha by drinking during the suda's Coca-Cola. However, dafka bebakbukim ashiyimotze alapkak, but you have to make sure that you're only going to use the bottles that on the bottle cap it says, kosher JB lepesach tofresh tzadik aleph. Kirak Coca-Cola be'ilah bakbukim kosher lepesach. Be'ir New York usfiva yisrael, behechsher shel harav Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld, who was our Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld's Alter Zeder. V'shar ha-Coca-Cola asher yimocher b'koisois hu be'iser gomer lishtois b'pesach. But all the others, you're not allowed to drink. Kol yari shemayim yochel ha-havri eskufoi. That's false advertisement, by the way. But every yari shemayim can make himself healthy. Way too much research on that today. B'mashka ha-Coca-Cola ha-kosher hanal k'nei desi pukech l'kol yimei achag b'mechir anog b'chol ha-shana Coca-Cola Bottling Company, New York. The truth is, this advertisement, or advertisements that mirrored this, appeared in many of the Jewish newspapers and journals and circulars that really went b'chol mekoymos in the United States of America that Jews were living. That is that Coca-Cola was kosher. Not only was it kosher, but if you get the special bottle cap that has Rabbi Bienenfeld's Zeda's initials on it, it would even be, JB, it would even be kosher lepesach. In the early 1930s, there was a big tumult amongst the Agudas HaRabbanim, and a lot of people started saying, you know, we've heard that Coca-Cola is very private, they're very secretive about what the ingredients in Coke are. As a matter of fact, until very recently, the ingredients, the formula of Coca-Cola was kept in a SunTrust bank, literally under lock and key. It was kept in a vault. It's considered to be one of the great secrets of Americana. And people said, if no one knows exactly what's in Coca-Cola, how in the world can we know if it's kosher or if it's not kosher? And people started asking questions, and it seemed like the answers weren't so satisfactory. And finally, a group of Rabbanim reached out to a great Lithuanian Rav who was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. Coca-Cola is based in Atlanta, Georgia. His name was Rav Tuvia Geffen, and they asked Rav Geffen, you know, you're a landsman, maybe you can do a little bit of research, a little due diligence, maybe you can find out, you know, is Coca-Cola kosher, not kosher, because it seems like the responses we're getting are a little bit murky. Now, just by way of background, Rav Tuvia Geffen was born in Kovna in the year 1870. In 1903, he and his family left that part of the world because of, you know, the terrible pogroms that were going on and came to the United States of America. Initially, Rav Tuvia Geffen settled in Canton, Ohio. He was there until 1910, when he moved to Atlanta, Georgia, because he got this very, very important rabbanis. A rabbanis that he held for the next 60 years. He was Ma'arich Yom HaVashonim. He lived close to 100. He was a rav in Atlanta until 1970. So Rav Tovia Geffen had learned in Slabotka. He had learned by the great Litvisha Ge'onim of the late 19th century. He was a London, he was a Charev, he was a Yerush Shemayim. And they felt that he was the right person to go and, you know, being close by to the Coca-Cola manufacturing facilities, let him look into it a little bit and let's see what he comes up with. Like, what's going on over there? Can we know if it's kosher or not kosher? And, you know, is it or is it not? Now, it just so happened that Rav Tovia Geffen had a friend by the name of Mr. Harold Hirsch. Mr. Harold Hirsch was the general counsel of Coca-Cola. He was a Jew, a Reform Jew, but a very proud Reform Jew. And he was a senior executive in Coca-Cola. In fact, his name comes up in a lot of very important legal opinions that were written about, you know, copyright and trademark laws. He defended Coca-Cola in the Supreme Court in the 1920s. A very, very prominent Jewish attorney. And he was a person that Rav Tovia Geffen happened to have known. Now, the story of how he knew him in and of itself is very, very interesting. It seems that Rav Tovia Geffen had a daughter that was classmates with Harold Hirsch's daughter. And at high school graduation, Rav Tovia Geffen's daughter, apparently she took after her father, was the valedictorian. And he spoke. Harold Hirsch was there, and he was very amazed by this girl's speech. And after the speech, he comes over to the rabbi, introduces himself, and he says, you know, I was so impressed by your daughter, I want to offer her a scholarship to college. Like, what is she planning on majoring in? So Tovia Geffen said, my daughter happens to want to become a chemist, and he paid for her college, and he gave her the scholarship. Needless to say, they became very, very friendly, and they kept up this relationship. So when the Rabbanim reached out to Rav Tovia Geffen and they asked, is there any way to kriech into Coca-Cola to see what's in there and whether this is kosher or not? So Rav Tovia Geffen knew he had an inside man. So he reaches out to his good friend, Mr. Harold Hirsch, and he tells him exactly what's going on. He says, I need you to get me access to the ingredients. I have to know the formula. I have to know the recipe. I have to know what's doing there. And he looks at him, he says, Rabbi, you know, I give you the shirt off my back. I would do anything for you, but this is impossible. There's no way in the world I could do this. And Rav Geffen said, Mr. Hirsch, I totally get it. I understand. This is no disrespect. But at the same time, I want you to appreciate that from my perspective, if I don't know what's going on in the plant, I'm going to have to tell all the rabbis that it's not kosher. And all the Jews that, you know, you're so proud of are not going to be able to drink Coca-Cola anymore. Now, that was very personal to Harold Hirsch because he was a proud Jew. And for his Coca-Cola, his baby, not to be considered kosher, he says, Rabbi, let me see if I can work on it. 6 months later, Harold Hirsch reaches out to Rav Tovia Geffen and he tells him, I got you access. Come immediately, they're gonna let you into the lab. Harold Hirsch comes. He actually took his daughter along because he didn't know a lot about chemistry. And, you know, she was a student, so at least she was holding a little bit in the sugya. And they come together and they give them access. And he starts going through the different ingredients. And lo and behold, what Rav Tovia Geffen's greatest fear was came about. And that is, one of the ingredients in Coca-Cola was glycerin, which is an animal byproduct, clearly a byproduct of a non-kosher animal. Clearly not an animal that had shechita and hadacha and melicha, where they removed the gidanosha and all the chalavim, which meant there was a little bit of tarfas, a little bit of nevela inside Coca-Cola. And Rav Tovia Geffen said, oi, we have a big problem. Not just that, there was also a wheat byproduct that was inside Coca-Cola, which meant that on Pesach, there was chametz gomra there. And if that's the case, there was no way in the world this is kosher. It's certainly not going to be kosher on Pesach. And he said, L'chura, we have to figure out what's going on. So he sat down and he went through the inyan a little bit. And he said, B'muscho Rishon, even though there was clearly non-kosher ingredients inside the Coke, but at the same time, it was a very, very small share. In fact, the chemist at Coca-Cola told him it was about 1/1000th. So if it's about 1/1000th, it certainly meets the criteria of shishim, which is what we paskin. And if that's the case, based on that, it shouldn't really have been a problem. Stating that, Rav Tovia Geffen said, there's a Rashba. The Rajba is in Tshuvas HaRajba, where the Rajba was asked the question about a certain medication that apparently was popular back in the day, where they used to put a little bit of Yayin Nesach inside of it. And they asked the Rajba, is a Jew allowed to take this medication? It's Apikuach Nefesh. Or is he not allowed to take the medication? And at first glance, the Rajba said, being that it was Batul B'Shishin, so based on that, it would be okay. He said, stating that, it's not Pashit. And the reason is, the Rajba said, I'm going to tell you Gevaldig Chiddush. Even though it's true, there's a halacha, Batul B'Shishin. But the only time you ever say Batul is if the Dover Aser was Nisarev with the Dover Mutter, B'derech Mikra. A tipas cholov that just so happened to have fallen into a k'teiras basar. If, however, you have a meichel, where one of the ingredients of the meichel is to put something non-kosher, well, we just put a little bit of butter in the chalent. It gives it a nice kick. That's not okay. If it's darkoy bekach, if this is the way you make this thing, said the Rajba, the halach is, and that situation, you're not going to be able to rely on bittel. Bittel is with the davar also, which is the davar mut, was nesarev b'mikra ba'alma. If, however, it's not a mikra, but this is really the way it is, in that situation, you're not going to be able to rely on it. You won't be able to be slain mechanis. Rav Tuvia Geffen sits down, and he says, I'm going to tell you what I think the maskon is. There's a little bit of non-kosher meat over here. There's glycerin. It's 1,000. Based on that, it meets really the shiurim, the ratio of what a proper bittel would require. The problem, said Rav Geffen, is there's a Rajba. There's a Rajba. The Rajba says the only time you can rely on bittel is if it's a mikra, punk to happen. But if it's minig, vidarke bekach, in that situation, you can't rely on it. And here's the problem, that the Beis Yosef and Simon Kufla Medalit and Lishitosa in Mechaber and Simon Kufla Medalit brings the Rajba. He brings it lahalacha. The lashon of the Mechaber is, so he said, if that's the case, this is mamish, the case of the Rajba, where it's one of the ingredients. And he sat down, and he told Mr. Harold Hirsch, and he told the Rabbanim, put the brakes on all Coca-Cola, because you can't drink it. There is literally nevela inside of it. And if there's nevela inside the Coca-Cola, there's no question in the world, it's not going to be okay. Now, if you take a look at the tshuva that was written by Rav Tuvia Geffen, and by the way, believe it or not, it's possible to find the tshuva. The sefer that I'm holding is called Karnei HaHoid, and Karnei HaHoid was written by Rabbi Tobias Geffen, Rav Tuvia Geffen of Atlanta, Georgia. This sefer itself was printed in Tofrech Sadikei in 1935. It's actually a sefer on Drush, but at the very, very end, he says that being that, you know, I wrote a tshuva that made a very, very big tumult, so I'm going to include it in my newest sefer. At the very, very end, he has tshuva bedvar mashke ha-Coca-Cola. Kuf Aleph, Kuf Aleph, Kuf Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Tshuva bedvar mashke ha-Coca-Cola. In, if you go through the tshuva, which I did, in the middle he says as follows. He says, va'af, after he says that based on this Rajba, l'chayre, there's no etzah for this to be okay. So, Rav Tuvia Geffen, v'afsha noida b'yehuda b'tshuva oisav, madura tinyona simenun vavenun zayin, hevi migdoli arishonim, shecholken ala Rajba v'arayvid, even though the noida b'yehuda in a tshuva, and madura tinyona simenun vavenun zayin, brought that to arishonim, that will chaylok on the Rajba and the Ravid, v'leslu hachsvaro, avul mi yuchel achriya ben harim gedoilim ko'ela, who has the plates? Who has the plates to be machriya, not like the Rajba, which is also the sheet of the Ravid, and it's also the sheet of the Tashbetz. So in the middle of the tshuva, Rav Tuvia Geffen was ma'irer, that you should know, there is a noida b'Yehuda, where it seems like maybe there'd be mokum to be mekel, but said Rav Tuvia Geffen, who could be machriya amongst the Rishonim, and just because it's such a noida b'Yehuda, that doesn't make me comfortable enough to go ahead and to be mekel. So what's this noida b'Yehuda? And this is really where the flesh of the sugya plays itself out. The tshuva's noida b'Yehuda, which is a classic, like every tshuva's noida b'Yehuda was written with regards to Eastern European beverage that was called krambabui fereski. Now, b'Yehuda actually mentions in his tshuva what the ingredients were. It sounds like there was a lot going on over there. And not for the faint of heart, but it seems that one of the things that they used to put into this krambabui fereski was they used to put a little bit of basar inside. They used to put a little bit of basar. And the shayl sent to Rabbi Yehuda, are Jews allowed to eat krambabui or drink krambabui freski? Or are you not allowed to drink it, right? Is this going to be a problem or is this not going to be a problem? So Rabbi Yehuda sits down and he writes a tshuva, and immediately Rabbi Yehuda makes a beeline to this Rashba. He makes a beeline to this Rashba. Says the Rabbi Yehuda that but that the only time you say bittel is if it happened derech mikra, but if it was put there with intent, with purpose, then already you know. Asher be'emes, if the Rashba said this, Arye Shog, Milo Yiro, Milo Harem Rosh, Neged HaRashba. If the Rashba said this is like a lion that roared, and who would have the chutzpah and the places to go Keneged HaRashba? U'befrat, Shehariven, U'maridai Svara. And besides, this is not only the Rashba, this is the Rivet. Right, we can't be machriya between Rashbas and Rivets. But the Rebbe says, not just the Rashba. This was already the Rivet that's years earlier than the Rashba, V'Rashba Mavia. And if that's the case, if there's a Rashba and a Rivet, who could be machriya? Stating that, Zokhtin Ayyad Behuda, I hold it's not so posh. And in order to appreciate the next part of Ayyad Behuda, we need one tiny bit of background. And that is, the halach is, Gvinas Akum is also Bachila. You're not allowed to eat cheese that was prepared by a guy. Why not let it Gvinas Akum? So I think if you ask the man on the street, he's going to say, it's posh, why you can't eat Gvinas Akum? Can't eat Chol Vakum. So if you can't eat Chol Vakum, then by definition, you can't eat Gvinas Akum. That's wrong. That is categorically wrong. That's not like sometimes we say when you ask a man in the street, is a shtickle right? No, no. He's flat out wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because the Gemara says that the milk, why not let it eat Cholav Akum? Why can't you eat Cholav Shechol Akum in Yisrael or Eyo? Because there's a chashash, we're concerned that maybe the milk is not really from a kosher animal. Maybe it's from a non-kosher animal. Maybe it's not from a cow. Maybe it's really from a pig. And if that's the case, maybe you're eating non-kosher milk. The Gemara says it's impossible to make cheese from milk that comes from a non-kosher animal. Which means that if you have Gvinas Akum, by definition you know that it came from a kosher animal. Which means that the issue, the problem that underpins Cholav Akum does not relate to Gvinas Akum. So if that's the case, right, the Gemara V'yidazar Alam Medalid, Mipnei Ma, Osru Chachom Gvinas Akum. So why did Chachom say Gvinas Akum is also? And the Gemara gives a few different terutzim. The one we need is Shmuel. Shmuel says the reason is, Mipnei Shema Midin Oysoi, Ba'or Kevas Nevela. It's because the way they used to make cheese was they would take the cheese and they would put it into the keva. That's one of the four stomachs of Perek Elutrathis fame of the animal. And it was when it sat there were certain enzymes that were emitted from the keva, and that's what caused the milk to convert into cheese. Being that the goyim, when they used the keva, it's obviously from a nevela, so there's a little bit of nevela inside. And being that there's a little bit of nevela inside, it's for that reason that the halach is, it's not going to be okay. So the reason Gvinas Akum is also is not for the same reason Cholav Akum is also. Cholav Akum is also because we're afraid that maybe the Cholav is from a non-kosher animal. Gvinas Akum we know came from a non-kosher animal. But Mipnei Shem Amidin Oiseh Be'ar Kevas Nevelo, it's for that reason that this is going to be an issue. Makshin Arishoinim, every Rishon ever asks this kasha. What are you worried about? You worried there might be a tiny bit of something, right, an enzyme, a plata, that came from the cave of the nevela that went into the gvina? Whatever little bit of something that is zikha batal b'shishim to all the gvina that's there. So if the gvina we know is kosher, narvas is a little bit of a blia, there's a little bit of something. So based on that, l'chayr, there should be no problem. What happened to bittul? It's from this kasha that the Rashba and that Shuva brings from the Raivet this Yesoid. And that is Zok, the Rashba, that the Raivet said, you know what Teretz in this Kasha is? It's because the only time you say Bittul is where it happened with Erech Mikra. But if this is the way it's prepared, this is Darka Yumin Hogay Shalkach, if this is Keilu, an ingredient, in that situation, you don't say the Halacha. You don't say the Halacha Bittul. So Zok, the Rashba, you know what my Makar is to say? Don't use that medication that has a little bit of Yai Nesach. It's based on this Sugya. It's based on the fact that you see, it's bottle. The Teretz says you don't say bittel where it's dark kibbekach. You only say where it's dark mikro. This way the Rashba answers this kashya with the shame derived. Of stating that. If you take a look at the Rambam and the Yad Chazaka, Perek Malach Yudgimel Chas Machalas Asuros, Ram says a different shot. Ram actually asks it as a kasha. Ram says ve'im toimar, sounding like a toisves. Ve'im toimar, fake the Rambam. Why isn't that Gvinas Akim is awesome? Neishem Amid the noise about your kevus nevelo. Typically, the little bit of nevelo that's inside is without a doubt going to be batal. Says the Rambam, I'm going to tell you why. Because we know the halacha is that any time you have a miut of iser in a taruvos, even if you have a sheer bittel, but if you can feel, touch, taste, see the influence of that davar mu'at, halach is you don't say bittel. Tavlin, for example, afil be'elefloy batel. Because there's always a little bit of tavlin inside the taruvus. Says the Rambam, being that it's the cave of the nevela that causes the milk to convert from being a liquid into a solid, that's the davar ha'maimed. When you see the cheese, you're essentially seeing the cave work inside the gvina. You see those enzymes, because otherwise it wouldn't be in a state of where it would be a salad. So being that the keva is a dover amaymid, it's kilu nicker in the taruvos, and it's for that reason you don't say bittel. But the bottom line is, two primary mahalchim in the Rishonim to answer this kasha. Gvina sakim is awesome, they shall be the noise by kevas nevela, l'chayra tepek leit can be bottled. The Rashba, b'shem derived said, it's because it's darke bekach, it's not a derech mikro. The Rambam said it's because you see the dover amaymid. Zok de noide b'yehuda, going back to the camp, the krambabui fereski. Zok de, they used to go ahead and they used to make this mixed drink using a little bit of nevela inside. And based on that, really a Jew shouldn't be able to drink it. Why shouldn't a Jew be able to drink it? Because what emerges is you have in it a taruvus of Isner. And based on that, it should be a problem. It's bottled, but you have the Rashba. Asha Aryeh Shag, Milo Yirim, Elohim Roish Neger HaRashba. Even though the Gemara doesn't anywhere in Shas say the Svar of the Rashba, but the Rashba said it. And he brought it Noch Peshim to rive it, even better. So if that's the case, it should be a problem. Abazokhtin, Oyde Yehuda, where did the Rashba come to it? How did he come to this Svara? He came to this Svara based on a kasha in the Gemara. Because the Gemara said that Venus Akim is Osir, I tape a glayed bottle, who cares my meat and ice bar cave is nevela? The Teretz is because it's Darke Bekach. Oh, but the Rambam said a different shot. The Rambam said because it's a Dover Amaymit. What do you see from the Rambam? Said the Noyde Behuda. You know what you see from the Rambam? The Rambam didn't hold of the Rashba Svara. Because if the Rambam held of the Rashba Svara, he would have said what the Rashba said. From the fact that he didn't say it, but he came up with a different teretz. Mipnei, because of the fact that it's a Davra Maimid, Zoysoy Meris, the Rambam doesn't hold of that Svara. So if the Rambam doesn't hold of that Svara, that means this whole Rashba / Ravid is b'machloike shnuya. It's b'machloike shnuya. By the way, it's not just the Rambam who answered this kasha differently, the Rimagash. Again, we don't know how to be machriya between Rishonim, right? But the Rima Gash was the Rambam's Rebbe. So in the world of authority, the Rima Gash holds this very, very prominent role amongst the Rishonim. Rima Gash also said what the Rambam said. So it's true, you have the Rashba and the Ravid on the one hand, but you have the Rambam and you have the Rima Gash on the other hand. Now, Zoktinay Behuda, that's Poshet. Even this Rashba Svara, it's only a Dinder Rabbanan. He brings that to Morgan. Avram already said, Smidder Rabbanan, Simon Tofman Base, it's only a Dinder Rabbanan. So I'm reading inside. If that's the case, Vikivan Chumidder Rabbanan, being that this whole svar is a svar midrabanon. Kedai heim harim megash veharambam lismoy chaleim lahakel. He said it's kedai. You want to drink the krambabui fereski, being soymich, not like the Rashba and the Ravid. You could do it. You know why? Because you have the Rambam, the Rabbi harim megash to be soymich on. They clearly didn't hold it at Rashba svara. So if that's the case, a good old fashioned case of bittel. If it's a good old fashioned case of bittel based on that, this is something that should be okay. And then the Rabbi Yehuda doubled down. He went a little further and he said, besides, I have a raya that the Shulchan Aruch paskind. I have a raya that the Shulchan Aruch paskind like the Rambam and not like the Rashba. There's a raya that the Shulchan Aruch paskind like the Rambam, not like the Rashba. What's his raya? So we just mentioned Cholav Akum and we mentioned Gvinos Akum. There's another sugya, the sugya of Chemos Akum. So Cholav Akum is milk that was prepared by Akum. Gvinos Akum is cheese. Chemos Akum is butter. Chemos Akum, believe it or not, is also its own sugya. It's not cholov, it's not gvina. Why not? The same mitzias that you have by gvina sakim, which is you can't make it from non-kosher milk, you have regarding chemos akum as well. So therefore, if you have chemos akum, even though you know the main ingredient is milk, but at the same time, it can't be that it came from a non-kosher animal, because had it come from a non-kosher animal, it wouldn't be chema. Just like gvina sakim, there's no problem of cholov akum. Chemos akum, there's also no problem of cholov akum. Additionally, chemos akum was not placed in the keva of an avail. So the mitzias of Shmuel in Avodah Zarah Lamed Daled, Ibn Eshim Amid and Oysa Ba'er Kevas Nevela, was simply not the case by Chema. So if that's the case, Chema Sakum really could be mutter. Again, what are you worried about? It might be non-kosher milk. Nope, impossible. Can't make Chema from non-kosher milk. But doesn't it have the enzymes of the abomasum of the animal? Nope, they don't put it in the keva of Nevela. And based on that, Chemos Akum should really be is something that should really be mutter. And it's for that reason the Shulchan Aruch paskins believe it or not, it might come as a surprise, but in Yerudei Simin Kuf Tez Vav Siv Gimel, HaChemo Shal Evi Kechavim, Ein Moichan La'anshei HaMokim Shneirgim Bayhat. If somebody goes ahead and he wants to be Mekel, you're allowed to be Mekel. It's something you're allowed to do, because it's for sure not non-kosher milk, and there's no enzymes of Nevela inside of it. So based on that, if you want to eat it, you could eat it. Stating that, Zokta Mechaper, if most of the people are Noyag Isser, it sounds like there were people that said, we're not drinking Chalav Akim, we're not drinking Gvinas Akim, we probably shouldn't drink Chemas Akim either. So if Roiv Nei HaMokim are Noyag Isser, in Lashanas, then already you shouldn't be Meshana, Ubamokim She'ein Minik, let's say there's no Minik, so you live in a place where the Anshei HaMokim are not Mekel, they're not Machmer, and you know, you're on the road and you're not sure what to do. In Bishpo, if you would go ahead and you would cook it, at that point, it would be mutter. Now, what's this inyan that there were people that were machmer? So we just said, you'd be machmer on Cholav Akim, be machmer on Gvinas Akim, also be machmer on Chemas Akim. But truth is, if you look in the Rishonim, it was a little bit more than that. It was because there was a little bit of a concern that in your Chemas Akim, there might be a little pocket of Cholav Akim that's inside of it. Let's explain this a little bit better. Cholav Akum cannot become chema. So if you see chema, you know by definition it was prepared by kosher milk. But how do you know that there isn't a very small percentage of the milk that had in it non-kosher milk? And if there was a very small percentage of it that had in it non-kosher milk, maybe that part of it taka is not chema. What, you chopped up your chema and you analyze every little, maybe there's a little bit of milk floating inside your bar of chema. So you have a bar of a butter and a stick of butter, and inside of it there's a tiny little pocket of chol. What's the tiny? The tiny is you can't make chema out of Cholav Akum. Beseder, which means that if I see chema, I know it came from Chol of Yisrael. But maybe there's a little pocket of milk that's inside of it, and maybe that's what the issue is. It's for that reason there were people that were machmer. The chumra was coming because of a concern that might be what is referred to as tzachtzuche chalav. There might be a little bit of chalav inside of it, that might be the issue. Zok de mechaber, even if there's a musik of being machmer, there's a eitzah. You know what the eitzah is? Go ahead and cook it. If you're going to cook it, so the little bit of chalav will be now nisariv with everything else. Once it's nisariv with everything else, it's anyways going to be batal. So if it's going to be batal, you're not going to have to worry about it. The makar to this eitzah, that you can go ahead and you can cook it, so that even if batim you'd be machmer of echemes akim, it would be batal, it's come from the Rambam. Rambam Hilchas Macholos Asuros, the Rambam says that. The Rashbin Teres Abayis brings this Rambam. And the Rashbin says, no way, you cannot cook it. You can cook it, it's still going to be awesome. If the minig is to be machmer, cooking is not going to make a difference. Zok Tinoi de Behuda. What's posh pshat in the machlik is Rambam and the Rashbin? Rambam says, cook it. The Rashbin says, you can't cook it. He says, you know, I think the chilik is. You know, what I think the beer is. I think it's the Rambam and the Rashbin l'shita sayo. The Rashbin, going backwards, that said, that you don't say bittel where it's dark and bekach. The only time you say bittel is if something happened derech mikro. If you're going to go ahead and you're going to buy chema from a guy, it's very possible they purposely go ahead and put a little bit of non-kosher milk inside of it. Could be that's the way. Again, for them, there's no kashrus. So mechatesa, they wouldn't do that. If that's the case, you can cook it from today till tomorrow. There's not going to be a bittel. Oh, but the Rambam, the Shitasai, where the Rambam said that's not why there's no bittel by Gvina Sakim. The reason there's no bittel is because of Dover Amaymit, so it's nicker, and as a result, there's no bittel. Oh, so if that's the case, the Rambam didn't subscribe to the Rashba Svara. So you could say bittel even where it's dark Kibakach. If that's the case, it's going to be okay. This is the way the Noid B'Yudah and that Shuvah learned off this Machlaik is Rambam and Rashba. If that's the case, what emerges? If that's the case, what emerges is that really this Machlaikis of the Rambam and the Rashba regarding Chemas Akum is the same machloek as the Rambam and the Rashba of why Gvinas Akum is awesome. And we don't say bittel. If that's the case, what is the Mechaber Paskin here in Simen Kuf Tezvav? That if you cooked it, it's going to be kosher. And by the way, the Ramah doubles down. The Shaila is whether there's a problem with Imavatlis Lechatchila. But the Ramah says if you want to cook a Lechatchila, even that's going to be okay. That means the Mechab and the Ramah passkin like the Rambam. If they pass like the Rambam, it's a Mefurish Halach and Shulchan Aruch that we're not Goyris to Shita Sarajba. So if that's the case, Krambabui Fereski, what's the problem? Trink isn't the height. This could be his Gesundheit, I'm not sure. But think this gesinnt responsibly, but gesinnt the height. That's already something you should be able to drink. Because what are you worried about? The shear, there's a shear bittel. You're worried about the rajba because it's an ingredient. This whole rajba is a derabbanon. It's really machlikes rishonim kedai harambam v'rabbi ari magosh lis mechalein by nis derabbanon. And by the way, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. So if the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, where's Shulchan Aruch paskins this way? In Kuf Tezvah by Chemes Akum. So if that's the case, the halach is anyways like the Rambam. If the halach is anyways like the Rambam, based on that, it should be okay. Where Rav Tovia Geffen wrote in his tshuva, when he sat down and he wrote in his tshuva and he said, "Va'af shahanoida bi Yehuda b'tshuvais amadur tinyana simon unzayim v'nud hevi mikdavi rishonim shechok la rajba raibid v'les lu hachsvara avu mi yuchel achriya ben harim gedoivum ka'elu v'litchay sadeya shal rajba raibid atash." But he meant this. He meant to Noid B'Yehuda's psak with regards to Krambabui Fereske. Because you see clearly, Noid B'Yehuda was mata that. And really, if you think about it, Krambabui Fereske in 18th century Moravia was the same as Coca-Cola in 20th century America. It was the same shaila. We had over here this animal byproduct that was purposely put in. Abulamaisa, it's a very small shear, and without a question, it would be bottle. Do you say that when something is purposely put in, you say bittel, or do you not say it? It comes from a Rajba, b'shem derived, but mitzacheni, there's a Rambam, and there's a Rimagash. Maybe Huda was machriel lahakal. He said, if you want to drink the krambabui fereski, gesunte, you have a right to drink it. L'chayra, this Rav Tovia Geffen was going not like that. But there's one more piece we need to speak out. The emes is, if you think about this, it's a pli atzuma. It's a pli atzuma, Noid B'Yehuda. What did Noid B'Yehuda say? He said that not just that, v'loy oid, but as it relates to this shiloh of the Rajba and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. How do you know he paskins like the Rambam? Because in Simen Kuf Tezvav, Shulchan Aruch paskins, chemasakim, if you cook it, you're good to go. And the Rebbe said to Shtikl Torah that Rambam is the Rambam L'Shitasi, and that's why the Rajba Teres Abayis was Chayla, because it's the Rajba L'Shitasi. So you see, by Chemes Akum, Bishul works. You see clearly, the Shulchan Aruch Shita is like the Rambam, not like the Rajba. Reboina da'al makula. What's going on over here? The Shulchan Aruch, we mentioned it earlier. Mefurish brings the Rajba. It's in Yerideya Kufla Medalit. Kol ha'mashkin sholei v'kechavim she'tarkin la'arim ben yayinai chayim etz asurin. How could the Noida B'Yehuda with a straight face say that the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring the Rajba? Shulchan Aruch Lahedi brought the Rajba. And by the way, we either made a shtickle Torah that this Rajba and Rambam is also the Machloikis of Chema. And by Chema, what? By the Rajba's case of Yayin, the Mechaber brought it. And by the way, if you're not sure, Kol HaMashkin Shalevi Kechom Shadak L'Arim Yayin Echem Yitzasurim, this is Yerideya Kufla Medal Sif Yud Gimel. If you take a look in the Be'er HaGoyla, HaRajba B'Truva. He's quoting verbatim the Rajba. If anything, the Shulchan Aruch Lehed Yepaskin like the Rajba. Which means that if it's Darka B'Chak, it's awesome. You have a Kashim from Chema Sakim? I don't know. But the bottom line is, it's Mefurish over here. And by the way, when Rav Tovia Geffen brought the Rajba, he said, the Beis Yosef quotes it. The Mechaber quotes it. Rav Tovia Geffen wasn't being so fancy. He just opened up a Shulchan Aruch. Kol mashkin shiloi v'kechavim shedarkin l'arav ben yayinoi chayim etz asurin. What's Posh Pshat in the Noid B'Yehuda? Not just that. The way the Noid B'Yehuda made his cheshbin, that the Machloik is Rambam and Rajba by Chemes Akum is really totally in the Machloik is Rambam and Rajba with regards to Mibnei Shemamid and Oysa Baruch Kevis Nevela. Well, that what emerges is you have a steer in Shulchan Aruch. Because the Mechaber in Kuf Lamed Dalet paskins the Rajba. And then the Mechaber in Kuf Tezvav doesn't paskin the Rajba. What's going on? Truth is, I found that the Minchas Yitzchak, the Gaivid of the Eidah Haredes, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, he asks this kasha, Tzorechin on the Noida B'Yehuda. It's a pellet to him. How could the Noida B'Yehuda say that the Shulchan Aruch paskin, like the Rambam, he mefurish brings the Rajba. And besides, loit the Noida B'Yehuda, have a stir on mechaber. In Kuf Tezvah, by Chemes Akim, it sounds like he holds like the Rambam. And in Kuf Lamed Dalet, regarding Hilchas Yayin Nesach, it sounds like he holds like the Rajba. But I'm going to tell you what I think is the Emesa, Emesa, Emesa Teretz. And that is that there's a tshuva, in Shailos HaTshuvos Igros Moshe, from Moshe Feinstein, and again, just going down Americana Lane. This is in Yerideya, Chelok Aleph, Simen Samech Gimel, was written in Tovshin Ches in 1948, and it was written through a Pinchas Taitz, the Chorin Levracha, the Gaivit of Elizabeth. This tshuva, and some of these surrounding tshuvas, we had a lot of fun with last summer, when Daf Yomi was learning Avodah Zarah, we were going through all the sugis of Yayin Nesach and Sherry Cask Whiskey. This is one of the Sherry Cask tshuvas, where Kiyodua Ramosha said that a Bal Nefesh should be Machmer, he gives four, and then he adds a fifth reason why a Bal Nefesh should be Machmer. Although he himself says that, you know, if the Oyvim gives me, they pour me a glass, doesn't say McAllen's, but he says if they pour me a glass of Koloimar, you know, I don't want to, it shouldn't be Mechzi Kiyura, just to drink a L'chaim, it's something that I'm Noig L'Hakel, right? Even though Ramosha by Chol of Stam Kiyudua said that I'm Machmer L'Atzmi, but in the sugi of the blended scotches, the Ramosha Yamin Sherry Cask, we know all this rate. We spoke about this last year. Six rate bites on this. But the bottom line is, as it relates to Achenegel and Yoneinu, in the conversation, in the back and forth of the tshuvas between Ramosha Feinstein and Rav Pinchas Teitz asked this kasha to Ramosha. He asked him this kasha. He asked him the steer in the Shulchan Aruch. He said that the mechaber in Kuf Tesvav Paskins Chemas Akum, if you cook it, it's mutter. Aye, it's darker bekach. Doesn't matter. We say bittel. And it's based on the Shittas Rambam. And yet in Kuf Lamedalit, when it came to Ilchaz Yayin Nesach, over there, he mefurish brings the Rashba. And Rabbi Yehuda made the two things tali zebezeh. And if that's the case, you have a steer in Shulchan Aruch. So if Teitz writes to Rav Moshe, I'm going to tell you what I think the teretz is. I think the teretz is that in Siman Kuf Lamed Daled, we're talking about Yayin. In Siman Kuf Tesvav, we're talking about Cholov. It's Cholok Yayin and Cholov. It's Cholok Yayin and Cholov. If you learned Avoy the Zara, especially with a little bit of Halacha, you know that the laws of Bittul when it comes to Yayin Nesach are way more Chomer than the laws of Bittul as it relates to everything else. There are many Rishonim that hold that Yayin Nesach is only Bittul B'Shisha. Look at Shisha. You need Shisha. Mimbe Mino, Yayin Nesach, Hafilu Be'elofloi bottle. There's a lot of chumis that you find by Yayin Nesach that you don't find in other areas. So said Rav Teitz to Rav Moshe, it could be the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskin, the Rajba L'chumra, as it relates to Yayin Nesach. But he Paskined the Rambam L'kula, as it relates to Chalav. And let me do it, they rise to the Rabbanans. What it has to do with is, it has to do with Yayin Nesach. We know in the laws of Bittul it's Mochamer, and that's why he brought the Rashba in Kuf Lamed Daled, but he brought the Rambam in Siman Kuf Tesvav. This is what he suggests to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe writes back to Rav Teitz that your teretz that you said, Emes la'amitoi, dosis pshar, avada dosis pshar. There's no steer in the mechaber. The pshar is the mechaber, and Kuf Tesvav is dealing with Cholov. Cholov went way, way more mekel when it comes to Bittul. There's one place that the Shulchan Aruch brought the Rashba. Kol amashkin shel oivei koichovim shetarkin la'aru ben yayin oichoymitz asurin. It was tafkin kuf la'medalid. It's not brought anywhere in Tzadikhez, Tzadikhez. But all the sugyas we're learning now, get that nosh, you're not going to see this Rashba mentioned anywhere. It's mentioned in Hilchas Yayin Nesach. That's where it's mentioned. You know why? Because it's only true l'halocha in Hilchas Yayin Nesach. Now, to be fair, the Rashba himself said the halocha not only by Yayin Nesach. He said, Mibnei Shem Amid Denoise Bar Kevis Nevelo. He learned up Gvinos Akim that way. Oh, but the Shulchan Aruch was mach and he said, as it relates to Cholov, I'm going to be making like the Rambam. As it relates to Yayin, over there I'm going to be Machmer. In fact, Rav Moshe with his incredible Koich Datera, he took it one step further. He told Rav Pinchas Teitz, I hold Bizmanenu, and this plays in very much to the Sherry Kass, because in Sherry Kass, this is Mamish the Rashba, right? If you're Machmer in Sherry Kass, what is he? It's because of the Rashba. This is the reason you're Machmer, because they purposely put a little bit of sherry inside of it. So it's done bikavana, that's why you for sure have kamat for sure a bittel, even though you know, everything is debatable in that sugya. But the bottom line is kipshuta, you for sure a bittel, but it's based on this, it's based on this Rashba. But said Rav Moshe, I hold today you could be mekel even by Yayin. You know why? Because the Rama says right in the beginning of Hilchas Yayin Nesach, that once upon a time Yayin Nesach was also b'shtia and it was also b'ana. But b'smanenu were mekel, and we say that it's muta b'ana. It's because today we don't have real Yayin Nesach. Anyways, the whole Yayin Stam Yenam is based on a chashash that they may be menas. Today, no one's menasach Yayin Lavi Dazara. Toysam Lavi Dazara already says that Bizman Noi, they were that long Toysfus and Lavi Dazara, that famous Toysfus that Chaim Soloveitchik wrote his whole thesis on, right? That whole Indian that we know already in the Zman and from the Rishonim, the whole Isn Yayin Nesach was way more cooler because this was not something that was pervasive anymore. But the point that says, Ramosha, I hope Bizmanenu. Bizmanenu, it's poshet. It's poshet that even by Yayin you wouldn't have to be machmer. Because all the chumras, that edge that Yayin Nesach has in Halacha over Nevela, over other things, it's all based on the fact. It's all based on the fact that Yayin is so chomer. But Bizmanenu, we know we don't treat Yayin so chomer anymore. And if that's the case, he told Rav Teitz, I hope this is something you'd be able to be mekel in as well. But the bottom line is, the Neid Yehuda, in his trufa with the cram, Babui Fereski, he didn't even bring Simon Kuf Lamed Daled. How's it possible? possible. Frank the Minchas Yitzchak. Nedbi Yehuda, you're telling me Yeridei Kuftes Vav with your Tzustel Techemes Akim? It's an offen halacha. The Mechaber brings the Rashba. What's the Teretz? The Teretz is its Poshnet. The Mechaber brought the Rashba. Look, it's Yayin Nesach. And the Nedbi Yehuda wasn't talking about Yayin Nesach. They were putting the Vela into the Krambabui. They were, by the way, it's a real Mashka. You can look it up. Adayim Azeh. It's like the official beverage of some, Latvia or something. Don't try this at home. But either way, the bottom line is this is something that, together with your sturgeon fish, maybe you'll drink. But the bottom line is this is something that's, it was negated than Avela. And being that it's negated than Avela, it was like all al daita of the great Noidabi Yehuda, the great Goyen, the great Paisik to even bring Kuflam Adal. So Rav Tuvia Geffen sat down and he said, even though it's the Noidabi Yehuda was Megal, Abba Lamaisa, who could be Machriya Negad Rajba? And the Bisyoisa brings the Rajba. I think the Noidabi Yehuda would have said, no, Machzatois. I know it's a Rashba. I know it's a Rashba. And I know the Rashba Alein said it in all areas. The Rashba Alein said it not only with regards to Yayin. He said it with regards to Nevelo. The Tzushtel is a phenomenal Tzushtel. It's a phenomenal Tzushtel. But at the same time, look in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber only brought it in Hilchas Yayin Nesach. In fact, he lehedya went fakert from it in Hilchas Chemasakim. Yerideya Kuf Tesvot. Not Yerideya Kuf Lamadal. That's why the Noidbid didn't bring Kuf Lamadal. That's the Teretz to the steer. It's a Teretz to Michaz Yinchas. It's the Gaivit of Elizabeth, Rapinchas Taitz's Teretz, that he told Ramosha. The Ramosha said, not only am I masking, I'm going to double down. I hold up his manenu, even Yayin is going to be treated like Chol. Lamaisa, Rav Tuvia Geffen, he sits down and he writes his tshuva and he goes over to Mr. Harold Hirsch and he tells him, I'm sorry. I have some bad news for you. I don't think Coca-Cola is going to be kosher anymore. And he was so distraught. He was so taken aback. Like, what am I going to do? So it seems that Rav Tuvia Geffen's daughter, who's a chemistry student, I don't know, University of Georgia, I don't know where she is, somewhere down south, and she tells her father that I was reading in a science journal somewhere that the chemists are making glycerin, not from animal fats, but plant-based. And would that help? As far as, of course, if you have plant-based glycerin, that would be kosher. So he makes this very chutzpahdiga suggestion to Harold Hirsch. And he tells Harold Hirsch that, there might be a way out. The eitz is, if you can get Coca-Cola to tweak the recipe, just for an old Litvish Jew who learned in Slabodka once upon a time, he says, then I think we might be able to work it out. And Harold Hirsch is like, Rabbi, you're pushing your luck. You understand that, right? He says, I get it. I understand. But our Jew's not going to drink Coca-Cola with the oven. Lamaisa, you can't make this stuff up. Harold Hirsch went back and he lobbied the powers that be at Coca-Cola and he actually got them to change the recipe. And they were willing to remove the animal-based glycerin and to replace it with a plant-based glycerin. I'm reading the last paragraph of the tshuva that was written by Rav Tuvia Geffen. V'alpi atzasi hischilu lishtamish bebeis hachereshes anal rak bemuris shenase v'niskem mishumen shel tzimche yo'adomo. They started only using this muris, that's his word that he uses to describe glycerin, that was plant-based. V'cheinu anigrin even got them to stop using the high fructose corn syrup or whatever they use, for Pesach time. He got them to change that instead using sugar cane. He says, I want to give He was so happy that he had the schus to be able to get Coca-Cola to go ahead and to change the recipe. Fascinating story. What Rabbi Bienenfeld described as hashkacha through hashkacha. Through the hashkacha that Rav Tuvia Geffen had this relationship with Mr. Harold Hirsch. It's interesting. I was looking in the beginning of the Sefer. So he dedicates the Sefer of Tuvia Geffen. Maskeres toide l'chvoid ha-gvir ha-nichbod v'ha-mafur Mar Harold Hirsch, Neira Yair Asher hoyel betuvai lazer oisi ba-hitza sifri zeh. This was Maduras Hirsch. Hineni ma'bia b'zaloi toide u'bracha Yarech ha-shnem yomav u'shnoisav b'toiv u'b'ne'imim ka'tiras ma'kira ha-mechaber. And then in English. For his kind assistance and interest in the publication of this volume, the writer extends grateful thanks to Mr. Harold Hirsch of Atlanta, Georgia. He wasn't a frum yid, but he was a very proud Jew, and he had the schus, on some level, Megalgul and schus ha'idei zakai, to get Coca-Cola to go ahead and to change the recipe so that this, it would be kosher lechatchiva, and there would be no issues of going
going ahead and drinking this. Just, you know, as a postscript to this. So, you know, the big question everyone asks is, what was going on before Reb Tovya Geffen? Right, what happened? Zalfei Rabbi Binefeld told me. He said his father told him, he said, doesn't know all the pratim. But he said his father told him that his Zayda used to say that the reason Coca-Cola's kosher is because it's an often a Noida B'Yehuda. Which Noida B'Yehuda did he mean? Of course, he meant this Noida B'Yehuda in Yeridei, Madura, Tinyana, Simen Nun, Vav, Simen Nun, Zayin. It's an often a Noida B'Yehuda. And really, you could have been soimich on this Noida B'Yehuda l'chatchila mamish. I think it's partially if you'd ask Rav Moshe, that's Rav Moshe would have said. Rav Moshe wasn't writing tshuvas that early in America, and maybe he was here and there, but there's no truth for Rav Moshe. I think he would have said it's an often a Noida B'Yehuda. But Reb Tovya Geffen had this Yerushamayim, and he said, how could we go connected the Rajman, the Ravid? And he set a precedent for all kashrus in America. Maisa, we're not soymich on gelatin and glycerin, and even though really, yeah, there's makom lismoich, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a miyuta de miyuta, and unless you hold like the Rajba, there's a way out. Reb Tovya Geffen set the precedent. He got Coca-Cola. Talk about the Jews controlling things, but somehow he got Coca-Cola. Can't make this up. To change the recipe, Hashkocha, Yedei Hashkocha, Yehi Zichro Yisha Reb Tovya Geffen, and shall Mr. Harold Hirsch, Voirach, and again, just another little sif katan in 250 years, the journey of tracing some of Jewish American history.